You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Skip's guy.
Yep, that's
Kevin
true.
Durant. There have been so many rumors about his future, and among his options, he could team up with LeBron, with the Lakers, come to LA but join the Clippers, go to New York with the Knicks, or stay in Golden State. Let's take a listen to KD on what he's looking for from his potential suitors.
Ain't nobody can recruit me no more.
Why is that?
Because I want to dictate the environment that I want to be in, so it's just like, you know, you can't give me the bells and whistles and be like, you know, I'd rather see what you do on a day-to-day basis. Or like, that stuff really doesn't impress me. Like, arenas and doing extra shit just for me, like, nah. I just want to see if you're a real person. I just want to make sure I get as much money as I can in my next deal.
Okay.
So I can stack up my money and figure it out.
Okay, Shannon, what do you make of those comments?
KD said he didn't want to talk about free agency entering into this year. For someone that doesn't want to talk about a subject, he sure spends a lot of time talking about the subject.
That's a very good point. I will agree with that point.
Which he doesn't want to talk about.
Yep.
Skip, the thing is, he said, well, see what, this is a shot. Okay, let's take the back. He says he wants to make as much money as he possibly can, which is Golden State can play him the most money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who said that, Skip?
Yeah.
In his return to Cleveland, LeBron James says, I will never, ever play for anything less than what? The max. Why you listening? Why you taking advice from somebody that's toxic? Oh, that's not, we're talking about that later, Skip. He says he wants to control the environment. The environment in Golden State was already established before Kevin Durant got there.
True.
So he wants to go somewhere where he has input in the type of environment. And then all of a sudden, it'll be KD brought this here. You see, Skip, he says, well, can't no one recruit him anymore. Well, that's exactly what Golden State did. And he says, well, he, you know, stadium doesn't impress him, so Golden State, y'all taking him to that new arena that they built in San Francisco, he wasn't impressed.
That was just like a month ago. They gave him a personal tour with the hard hat, right?
That doesn't impress me. But, Skip, here's the thing. KD,
all right.
You never know what, when someone's recruiting you.
Yep.
I can assure you, when Coach Saban goes into a grandmother's or a mother's home to recruit their son or grandson, he's not yelling. He's not going to tell him I'll make you do wind sprints. He puts on a nice touch. KD, you never know what someone's going to get like until you actually get there and you see them on a day-to-day basis, which in turn means you're going to have to sign to find out what someone's like. Steph could have told you this, and Iggy and Draymond and Klay, they could have told you all of that. But that's what they do in the recruiting, Skip. They put on all the flair, all the fluff.
Sure.
Make sure you have, oh, KD, whatever you need. And then when you get there, like, hold on, Coach Saban yells? Oh, they were like this. I didn't know this. Why didn't you do this when you were in my living room?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, KD, bro. You've been on recruit. You went to University of Texas. I'm sure that wasn't the only school that recruited you. So you know how they pile it on really, really thick. Mm-hmm. Tell you everything you want to hear mm-hmm. in order to get you to where they want you to be.
Yep.
And then, so that. But Skip, this is, I mean, if Warriors, I would be a little concerned. Because it sounds like to me, Skip, and KD knows this, he's never going to get the credit that he deserves winning championships there. He goes to the Knicks. He wins one championship with the Knicks. It'll be worth more than the three that he went. If he were to win this one this year, worth more than three.
Sure.
Because even though you did the same pass with LeBron, LeBron joined a 47-win team that got kicked out in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't join a 73-9 team
yep.
that had lost in game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Durant is sending a lot of mixed messages. But for a guy that said at the beginning of the season he wanted to talk about free agency,
mm-hmm.
he damn sure spends a lot of time talking about free agency.
Does.
So I'm going to say it one more time. Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet.
No,
that's what I believe.
I can't tell.
But I cannot defend the best player on the planet when he speaks to the media or gets on Twitter and starts to unravel. Yeah, I know. Because
Multiple personalities.
Yeah, multiple personalities. And I have no idea what much of this meant because Kevin Durant, I'm going to say this again, he is the thinnest skinned superstar I have ever closely observed. And I do not love that about him, but it doesn't seem to affect him on the biggest stage in the finals when he's the back-to-back finals MVP.
Correct.
He seems to be able to disassociate from that side of his personality and rise and shine when I least expected him to 2 years ago in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
That was the weight of the NBA world. Everybody wanted to see Kevin Durant fall on his face
yep.
because he left Russell Westbrook high and dry in Oklahoma City, right?
Yep.
So what I don't like about Kevin is that the littlest thing from the littlest person can just set him off and set him spinning off the court,
yeah.
right?
It's normally a Joe Schmo on Twitter.
Yeah, and it could have been Joe Schmo that he just read before Chris Haynes interviewed
yeah.
him that set him off and said, well, I'm gonna show him, you know, you can't recruit me.
Right.
Because somebody probably said, Kevin, you love to be recruited because he does love to be recruited. He loves to be wined and dined, and he loves the attention, and he loves the empowerment that he has this year as he heads toward another free agency,
yeah.
right?
Who doesn't like to be wined and dined and said how much you wanted and yeah. how much you needed?
He is basking in this.
Yes.
But I don't trust what he says from day to day because he is capable of saying one thing today and saying the complete opposite
tomorrow
or tonight.
Okay.
Right?
True.
Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what am I supposed to make of? He says, I want to stack money. Okay, fine. If that's what you want, then just stay in Golden State
right,
because you
can
make
you
$30 more million.
Correct.
And for a 5-year match,
yep.
right?
Correct.
Okay, why wouldn't you stay there? And where have you made all your best investments in Silicon Valley? So wouldn't you stay to watch over your investments
right.
or continue to roll out new investments?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be where you could stack the most money?
Yep.
I guess New York, you could argue, yeah. but you can't make as much salary in New York.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So
I guess he's saying, you know, in New York, I'd be the toast of the town.
Yeah, but the mixed message comes.
Pressure.
Then he says arenas. You know, like, don't show me arenas. Well, wait a second. They just did.
Yeah.
And he knows that full well.
And he had a shovel, red tip boots.
He had his hard hat on.
And a hard hat.
Come on.
Yeah. In a new arena.
Yeah, and it's like, in your face, Golden State, I don't need that.
And then talking about Skip, remember, he also said they're probably going to have statues of us out front of this arena.
And you don't want that? You don't need that?
Okay.
So what? I don't know. I mean, my gut would be that right now he would lean towards staying in Golden State. But then we get to culture.
Yes.
Then we get to day-to-day. I want real people. Well, the only way he's going to know the realest people are the people he's living with right now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he took a chance that...
Draymond real. Draymond really real.
Okay.
How much more real are you wanting than that, Katie?
And that's the hugest X factor right now. And I'm going to say this again. I still believe before this trade deadline, the only way to guarantee that Kevin is going to stay in Golden State, they've got to get rid of Draymond.
But for what, Skip? Draymond.
I know he's more valuable. I don't care. This would be addition by subtraction. And I know it would be a big, bold move.
But what if Katie still leave?
Okay, you can't get a guarantee on that. You could get a handshake. You could get a verbal agreement, but you can't sign anything.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying that would virtually guarantee that he would stay because
If you go that far for me,
I don't like
to
promises.
Clear the air, to clear the decks.
Okay? I don't like promises.
Well,
my grandma said promises like pie crust, Jenny, thin and easily broken.
Okay.
I don't like that.
So after the game the other night, he again spoke strongly, harshly, dare I say, about Draymond Green in the basketball context because he said, I hate it when he hesitates. So do I. I can't even watch him when he hesitates because now he's so he gets the ball at the three-point line. He looks around like, really?
But Skip, they make it seem like Draymond was a 50% three-point shooter for his career. He's not been. He's a guy that's streaky that hit a few here and there.
But he made enough that it kept people more honest on the stars, right?
Yes.
And now he's just,
I don't care.
He's a liability.
His 25 points are not the same as Steph, Clay's, and KD's. I don't care about Draymond. Draymond hurts you when he has 14 assists, when he has 15 rebounds.
Or when he's winning defensive player of the year.
Skip, his scoring, that's the last thing on my mind with Draymond. Those other guys hurt you scoring. Draymond doesn't hurt you scoring. Draymond hurts you with assists and rebounds because he's getting the ball off the rim, he's pushing tempo, he's kicking the three-point shooters, or he's assisting the basketball. Draymond's scoring is, that'll mean nothing.
Yep. If I ran the Golden State Warriors, I would look to move him before the trade deadline. I would. I just think their culture went sour over this incident.
But I still, when KD says, Skip, he's never going to get credit for what happened in Golden State.
No.
Because it was sold before he got there. So
that's what Draymond told him on the bench.
Yeah!
We won before you got here. Though you kept pointing out that Draymond was in tears when he called him from the parking lot.
He was. Man called KD a garden.
And you know why?
A garden tomb.
He got Kyrie'd that night.
No, he didn't.
And it brought him to tears. Left
Stop
him to tears.
It.
Well, he did.
Skip, you know what, Skip?
Well,
Kyrie This is a KD subject.
Well, that's what had just happened. That reduced him to tears. Kyrie Irving did.
Crying.
Yeah.
And he take a shower, got a towel on.
Yeah.
He didn't call his mom.
No.
He didn't call his homeboy. He didn't call his lady. Who jumps on the phone and the first thing you do, you call somebody from another team?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I might have lost the game. Mm-hmm. When I lost the game, the lowest I've ever been was in 1991, Skip.
I thought you were doing the Mark Brunell game.
No. I was lower than, this one. Skip, I dropped a touchdown in the south end zone that would have given us home field advantage throughout the playoffs. We end up having to go to Buffalo. We lose 10-7. I'm in the car. I'm going home. I'm crying. The first person I call is Sterling Sharp. Bro, what's up? What's happened?
Well, you didn't ask him to come out of retirement and come help?
No,
right?
He was still playing then.
Oh, he's still playing.
He was still playing then. Right. And I explained to him, I'm not about to call some other dude. Draymond called another man to come help him fight his fight.
And then a month ago, what did that man call him?
Oh! Called it what he knew to be. Because guess what? If I can pick up the phone and call you to come fight a fight for me, what'd that make you? Y'all ain't homies like that. Now, we down. Now, I got boys I've been with for 30 years that we going to ride together. But somebody that I play with and in casual, you know, we see each other. I may have a drink or two. Nah, miss me with that.
Well, KD is sure doing plenty of talking. For someone who said he didn't want to talk about the future, you know.
No mercy.
The Steelers are still in the playoff hunt, but they need some help. The easiest way for Pittsburgh to make the playoffs is beat the Bengals on Sunday and hope the Ravens lose to the Browns. The Steelers have lost 4 of their last 5, including a heartbreaker against the Saints, which included a fake punt late in the fourth quarter that did not work. Joined once again by James Harrison. James, who is most to blame for the Steelers' disappointing season?
I would have to give that to Mike Tomlin. And the reason I give it to him, because he's the head coach. He has to go out there and get this team ready. You've had instances where the defense plays well. You had instances where the offense plays well. And you know that they're capable of doing that. If you look at the defense that, you know, he's actually built, I mean, I think he has 6 or 7 first-rounders. He has a couple second-rounders through either draft or trade. So he's put together a defense that should be capable of going out there and stopping offenses. And I think at the end of it, the Achilles heel has been the defense not able to come through in the end. So, I have to put that on Mike Tomlin, even though he has, won a significant amount of games. He's won Super Bowls. But if you even look at that and you go back, the Super Bowl that he did win was basically a Bill Cowher-based team.
Right.
the team that actually went in 2010 was still a majority of Cowher. And since then, I think he's reached the AFC Championship game one time. And over the course of the last 2 years, he's lost just the first first game to Jacksonville, where the defense gave up 40, 50-something points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this year they have a possibility of not making it. So all that has to go on, Coach Tomlin.
Yeah, I'm going to give the lion's share of the blame to Coach Tomlin also, because I don't think he did a good enough job of controlling the auxiliary noise that was emanating from his locker room. Mm-hmm. I said this early on, James. You played 14 years?
15.
I played 14. I never heard, because the one thing that we don't do in the locker room, we talk about another man's money.
Never.
And when it comes to a contract, we always side with the players. Definitely. This was the first time I can honestly say I'd heard players side with the organization over a player about getting his money. Mm-hmm. And they were speaking. I'm like, what is this about? And that's what I was like. I remember talking to you, Skip. I was like, I don't know how Le'Veon comes back in there, knowing how the offensive linemen feel about him and how they hold him accountable.
Yep.
Some of the same offensive players had a problem with James Harrison after he got released. Yep. They want him to go sit on his couch, not do anything, not get a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
So he's like, nah, I'm going to go on up here. This team won't me. I'm going up here and try to get a little money, too. Mm-hmm. If I get a chance to play for a Super Bowl. I think Mike got to do a better job because, man, Ben quick to point them fingers. He needs to do a better job. What he should have done from the beginning, like, look, guys, until Le'Veon gets back, we're not going to discuss Le'Veon Bell. We're going to talk about the guys that we have in this locker room that's going to be here from the jump. So if and when he comes back, we'll discuss that situation. So anytime his name comes up, I would prefer you refer them to me.
Yep.
We're not going to discuss it. Mm-hmm. They discussed this early on. The organization also bears some culpability because they told Le'Veon Bell they were. What else did they need to see? The guy played till the ink was dry on his contract. They franchised him. Le'Veon, I think, came to the realization, I see what y'all trying to do.
Yep.
Y'all want to put another 400 carries on me, use me up, and then say, nah, we good. He said, nah, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
So I'm going to sit this whole year out. Skip, they got too many voices coming out of that locker room. They're not a very united team.
They're not.
Because we're going to stay in the locker room. We're not coming out for the anthem. Coaches go stand, and then we got guys at the end of the tunnel, and guys need to see the flag. So there's a lot going on, but until Mike Tomlin sets the temperature of this room. Mm-hmm. Say, this is how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. This is not how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to have these little fractions. You're going to have guys speaking out, and it's not conducive for you to have a winning organization. You win a few games here or there, but they vastly underachieved. They're one of the most disappointing teams in all of football.
All right, so I'm going to ask James a question, just to be fair to Mike Tomlin, and I'm not saying this is the case, but do you feel like you still have any lingering bitterness toward Mike on the way they handled your departure from Pittsburgh?
No, I asked for a release, like I said, early in the year, and they didn't give that to me.
Okay.
If they had gave me my release early in the year, I probably would have never been in New England.
Because there were times I remember that I read you showed up and you didn't even know that you weren't dressing for that game.
It was times where I practiced all week and show up and I'm thinking I'm going to be dressed. Okay. Uniform,
no,
not
uniform.
In the locker. Yeah.
So, now, that said, as many times as I've said on the show, I love Mike Tomlin from a distance, and if I could play in the NFL, I'd want to play for that guy, but I don't know him inside the locker room, and I'm with you and both of you. He does not have control of his football team, and it shows on the football field occasionally in the lack of discipline and focus that they play with or without, I should say, because if you boil down what's wrong, and again, to your point, they're ranked 15th in points allowed. It's got to be better. That's not steel curtain Pittsburgh defense. Mm-hmm. This defense, and again, it came alive against Brady, and it came alive a little bit against the Saints. I thought it played pretty well in those two games. But you don't have anything to show for it because you're 8-6-1 and you're just clinging to the last life that you have, the playoff wise.
You lost four or five.
You have. You've lost four or five games, and yet in those those last five games, you went to the fourth quarter and all five of them tied or leading, and you lost four of five. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody's got to pay for that. A lot of times, you give the game away because they're minus 10 in turnover ratio. And you know and I know, you guys have been around good teams before. You can't be minus 10 and be a Super Bowl-type team, right?
You'll be minus the playoffs.
Minus the playoffs. So why are they minus 10? Because they gave the ball away 25 times. Why was that? Because Ben threw 16 interceptions and they lost 9 fumbles, and 2 of them were Ben's lost fumbles. So it's not clean enough. You know, they have all this firepower. They're 4th in points scored, and Ben's, what is he, 3rd in QBR. So there's lots of.
He's about to throw for 5,000 yards, isn't he? He's like 4,800 yards or something?
4,842. Mm-hmm. That ranks first in the NFL. Yeah, and it got you 8-6-1. It got you a tie against Cleveland. You can't do that. It got you a loss at Denver. That's no good. And you know what happened at the end of that game.
And Oakland. Really?
He lost to Oakland. Okay?
Really?
Okay, so is it fair for us to conclude that Mike Tomlin deserves to lose his job? Yeah, it is fair. Do you think he really will? No. I don't, because they just don't do that.
No. I don't really think it's fair to say that he should lose his job. That's just really not something the Steelers do. I think worst case scenario, he'll be playing his last year on his contract next year, and if things don't pan out the way they want him to pan out, they'll let him go. I don't see the Steelers firing him. That's just not in. That's not what that organization does.
They've had 3 coaches since 1950, and all of them retired. Chuck Noll retired, Bill Cowher retired, and then Mike Tomlin got the job. He's in what, year 15, year 16 right now. So I think he's the second longest tenured with one team behind Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick's been there since 2000. Mike Tomlin's been there since what, 07?
07.
So I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. But there's too many things, Skip. The mere fact that, you know, Ben speaking the way he does is calling out his teammates. Antonio Brown, recording, I mean, you beat Kansas City, and the dude is Facebook Live. What other teams?
Put Tomlin in a bad spot because Tomlin's ripping on New England.
Right.
Yeah.
Can that change, though, if he just suddenly is stricter, he sets the temperature, the tone differently? Can players adapt to that, or is this just who he is?
I be honest with you, I don't know if players can adapt to that, because you've been used to a certain standard for so long that if you try and change that, now the players are really going to revolt against you.
Yep.
That's why it's easy to be nicer. You come in and you lay the gauntlet down, because I can always, you know, pull the reins in.
Right.
It's hard to tighten the reins once I've been a certain way for an extended period of time. See, Coach Coughlin, like Coach Belichick, it's easy for Coach Belichick because he's already established who he is and what he is. So if he wants to give you a day off, you can accept that. But, man, Mike, you better get a hold of this. You got too many guys talking and doing all this.
So why do I say I want to play for him? Because he seems like he's the ultimate player's coach, and now it's gone way to a fault, right?
I love the matter-of-factness.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, matter-of-fact, Mike.
Yeah.
Danger.
I mean, did you?
Oh, yeah. What you say that? I mean, what's going on, Jay?
No, I'm.
He wasn't matter of fact with you, huh?
I'm not gonna pour nothing on it, but like it wasn't matter of fact with me. So I mean.
Okay. Did you enjoy his company in the locker room? You know, just being around him. Was he fun to play for?
Yeah. He was fun to play for. But like I said, when it came down towards the end, and you know, I'm trying to get straight answers, I can't get nothing. So. That's really like the last, you know, year or so. That's really where we had our, you know, our differences.
The truth is, he revealed himself to be like most of the coaches in this league, right?
I don't think I didn't have that problem with other coaches. You know what I'm saying? I got straight answers. I thought I was getting, straight answers from him until it got to that point to where I'm like, hey, like, what's, you know, what is it? Like, tell me, I got a plan for you. That was his thing. Well, what's the plan? Because I'm sitting on the sideline, you know, even to the point to where, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to Mr. Rooney, I'm talking to Art, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like, can y'all just release me? Like, he's like, no, he has a plan for you. I'm like, well, Mr. Rooney, what's the plan? He's like, I don't know what the plan is, but he tells me he has a plan for you.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what to, how to take that.
Well, Belichick had a plan for you, right?
Yeah.
And I wish Belichick had a plan for you this year. I wish you were still there. Because I think you could, seriously. Can they rush the passer at all?
I couldn't take another year. I did Cincinnati away from my kids, and I realized it was going to be that, and I couldn't take another year.
Well, then good for you.
Yeah.
It's good to have your perspective. Because it is nice to have that insight. No mercy. Baker Mayfield is not backing down from the budding rivalry with his former coach, Hugh Jackson. Baker appeared to stare Jackson down during a long pass play in the Browns' win against the Bengals on Sunday. And after the game, Baker was pretty coy about it, so he was asked about it again yesterday. Let's hear it.
I don't get why people have a problem with football being a competitive sport. You're supposed to play with emotion. You're supposed to play with passion. Quite honestly, if you don't like it, whatever. Football's not meant to be a soft game. Could care less. I'm not trying to get anybody's approval. I'm trying to win football games and do this for as long as I can. That's the goal. And the guys inside this locker room know that. And they know that I would fight for them. They know I'd take a bullet for them. And to me, that's what matters. I don't have to make any friends outside of this locker room. I'm not trying to do that. You know, once they're in here, they know exactly what they're going to get. And that's what really matters.
Okay, Shannon, do you have a problem with those comments?
I do. Disrespect isn't competitiveness. You know, he said something in there that he's not trying to make friends. A coach once told me, he said, son, you don't have to make friends, but you damn sure don't want to make enemies. Skip, in this game right here, you covered this game a long time. Mm-hmm. And the game of football is sanctioned violence. I can do whatever I want to you and dress it up as a football play and nothing happens. I played this game for
maybe a flag flies, but nothing.
But I can dress up as a football play and you never know.
No.
See, the thing is with me, Skip, and I playing this game for 14 years, there have been defensive players that I dislike. And I thought they did some things that was dirty. And I had a way of getting back with them. Baker Mayfield, and see, what upsets me is that these young guys coming to the league, he's so competitive. Like in the 99-year history, the new guy that comes into the league is the most competitive guy that we've ever seen. Baker Mayfield, you want to impress me? You want to prove how competitive you are? Do what you did Sunday to Hugh Jackson. Do it to John Harbaugh on Sunday.
Well, he doesn't have a beef with John Harbaugh.
Whoa, no. He's competitive. Mm. Competitive is not about beefs. Mm. Competitive, I'm competing against Jenny. I'm competing against Hugh. I'm competing against the camera guy. Doesn't matter. I compete. Mm. Nah, he's being petty. Because what's the difference? If you don't mind me asking, what happened to Hugh? He got fired. Mike Pettine got fired. Romeo Crennel got fired. Our own Eric Mangini got fired. There are a lot of coaches that got fired.
Bill Belichick got fired.
He went and got another job. Mm-hmm. He happened to get a job with a guy that knew him. Mm-hmm. Okay, got no problem with that. But Baker's trying to dress this up. Oh, when they ask about it, no, what are you talking about? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, you know, I'm competing. This is not competitiveness. But let me tell you what's going to happen. Defensive guys are going to get tired of Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And they're going to they're going to dress it up as a football play.
Okay.
And they're going to stop this. Mm-hmm. The game has gone on far too long to have a young guy come in. Oh, he had a chip on it. Baker, it's the chip on his shoulder. No, that's not true, Jenny. There have been a lot of guys that had a chip on their shoulder that couldn't play. Baker Mayfield can play. So that chip, we can dress it up all we want to. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. They're going to be a defensive guy. That Baker Mayfield is going to disrespect a player or their coach.
Yep.
And like he says, he would take a bullet for his players and his teammates. So will a lot of other guys on other teams.
Yep.
And they're going to put a stop to this foolishness. And watch what I tell you.
You know what Baker would say to everything you just said? Just bring it on.
Okay.
Just bring it.
Okay.
Just stop me. He would say, just stop me. And if you don't like who I am or what I do, he would say to you, screw you, because that's his attitude toward everybody. Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. If I can use the oldest school football term, Baker Mayfield, back in the early days when I covered the NFL, back in the mid-70s with the Miami Dolphins, the old line was, he's full of piss and vinegar. Mm-hmm. That's what he is.
Yep.
He's full of both of those, right?
Yep.
And he spews it all over the field because that's how he motivates himself. We talk about Psycho Tom Brady just becomes some other guy in the highest forms of competitiveness in the biggest games. He just goes a little crazy. Mm-hmm. This guy goes crazy just about every Sunday.
Right.
Because he's not as talented as Brady is overall. He's not as big as Brady. Brady's 6'4", and this kid's 6 feet and something, right?
Yeah.
So he's always played with the chip on his shoulder because everybody told him he's too little to play football, definitely to play quarterback. Obviously coming out of Austin, out of high school, nobody recruited him, winds up at Texas Tech, falls apart with Cliff Kingsbury, has to walk on again at Oklahoma. And those kids at Oklahoma loved him. They would, quote unquote, run through walls for him. They would die for him and vice versa.
Agreed.
When he says, I would take a bullet for my teammates, I know it's
figurative
speech, but again, they believe he actually would do that. Mm-hmm. And so in the biggest picture, he's just saying, stop me. You know, this is who I am. Just stop me. And he lost it so much. I don't know if you saw that little thing on the sideline. I can't even describe what he did, but he was celebrating a touchdown pass to Fells, and he ran to Freddie Kitchens, his coordinator on the sideline, and did some lewd gesture, which the NFL is not going to like, and it was right on the edge of the sideline. He didn't do it to the other team like he did it to the Kansas Jayhawks. Yeah. But he's just a little over the edge, a little out of control. It's just who he is. Now, that is going to have to stop because the NFL is going to stop that.
The NFL, the guys in this league, Skip, that's been going on too long, they're police. They're rainy men.
Yeah.
They'll knock his block off. And then guess what? He's like, well, they're targeting me. They're taking cheap shots. Because I'm going to tell you, they're reining in. These guys, they have a way of policing this. They're going to police this. They're not going to let you keep on. But I've never, in all my years, Skip, and you've covered the league longer than I played in it, I've never seen players on an opposing team, once the coach get fired, be as openly and blatantly disrespectful to Hugh Jackson. The guy gets an interception, and he hands Hugh the ball? Is Hugh Jackson the only guy that's gotten fired as a head coach during the season? I'm just Skip.
Okay, but just remember, it goes back to that Hard Knocks incident.
What does Denzel Ward have to be upset about? Because he the one that intercepted the ball and threw it to and handed it to Hugh Jackson on the sideline. Okay. So what's he upset about?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know that one. I can only speak for Baker. And again, he's shattering the mold, and maybe the mold will shatter back pretty soon, like you said. But he just doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Probably to a fault, but it's what drives him. And trust me on this. This team is going to Baltimore on Sunday for a game that really, really matters in that division. It's going to decide the division. And I believe the Cleveland Browns believe they can go win that game mostly because that kid's playing quarterback for them. Don't you think that?
Yeah, of course.
Because he already...
And they should, because they're playing unbelievable.
He already beat the Ravens at Cleveland.
But, Skip, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And Baker Mayfield, he's only one touchdown away from two touchdowns away from breaking Peyton Manning, the most touchdown passes by a rookie. Yep. That's what we should be talking about.
I'm not sure he's going to be able to pull that off this week.
Not his antics.
That is true, though. Yep. Maybe it's been overshadowed a bit by everything else he's doing.
Baker.
I can agree with
you.
Do
what you did to Hugh, do it to John Harbaugh.
I know, but he doesn't have any reason to do it to John Harbaugh.
Why not? Well, he competitive. They ain't not going to get him going. That's going to get his juices flowing.
He's
going to
find someone. You might be next, Shannon.
I don't think it's John Harbaugh, but I do think it could be Shannon Sharp.
Well, get Sizzle.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think we'll get old Sizzle.
Hey, that'd be...
Get old Sizzle. Hey. I want you to get to do a little dance in Sizzle face.
There's only one guy who can get Sizzle, and that's this guy right here. I used to get him, but that was on TV. Yeah, not on the football field.
But they shut this down.
By the way, I got a shout out to Suggs because he's playing at a high level, and he wants to continue to play. He's like the Brady of pass rushers, right?
He's what if he starts this game, plays this game, he'll pass Ray most games in Ravens history.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Is he not the driving force of that defense to this moment?
And he's the link between Ed Reed and Ray.
The link.
He's the link.
He is the reason they have a chance to get to this Super Bowl. I know they got a young quarterback, too, but, boy, they're that defense.
They play old-school football.
Yep. Yeah. And again, so does Baker Mayfield, and I don't love his chances at Baltimore on Sunday. But Lamar's young, too, so...
But you remember last year, Skip, they had an opportunity to get into the playoffs, and they allowed Cincinnati to come in, beat them. Buffalo goes to the playoffs. So I'm sure John Harbaugh's warning his team, look, guys, hey, we remember what happened last year on this very field at this very time. And that team is even more dangerous than the team we lost to last year.
So, I said before the year, if Baker Mayfield could start from the start, this team could go 9-7, and I think it could have if he had started from the start. And then he had to overcome Hugh versus Todd Haley, which they fought all through Hard Knocks, all the way through the first 8 games, and it wasn't until midway through the season they were both fired. That's hard on a kid quarterback to sort of have to figure that out. It was.
They got rid of both of them.
They did.
Frail swoop.
Yeah, and that was a good move by the owner. He just said, okay, both of you guys are gone. I'm not going to stand for this. I won't tolerate this.
Hey, Jenny, sometimes you got the hair go with the hide.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the baby got to go out with the bath. Because a lot of times, Skip, you know how that works. The head coach get fired, the offensive coordinator stays.
No, honestly,
y'all bickering too much. It's too much. I ain't siding with you. I'm not siding with him.
I know.
Both of you hit the door.
When all of a sudden Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens are making a pretty strong statement, they deserve some serious consideration.
Yeah. They deservedly so.
Yep.
Deservedly so.
Well, nothing Baker would love more than playing spoiler to the Ravens. That is all
about. He spoils Shannon.
Come on, Raven. Come on, Sizzle.
Let's see.
OT Sizzle.
No mercy. The Rams blew out the Cardinals on Sunday, but the most shocking moment has been this video that shows Ndamukong Suh apparently trying to poke Larry Fitzgerald in the eye during the game. Of course, this isn't the first time Suh has done something dirty in his 9-year career. Fitz defended Suh yesterday, tweeting this, wanted to address the video circulating from Sunday. I've known Ndamukong since his college days, and he's as close a friend of mine. Quality as a person matches his quality as a player. That video is just a friend clowning with another friend. No negative intent. It's all love. Shannon, are you surprised by the response from Fitz?
I was, but you know me, Skip. I've known Fitz for a while. Consider him a good friend. He calls me Unc. So I reached out to him, and I asked him to tell me what was up, and this is what he responded. He said, no, really, that's my dude. We were just effing around, in all honesty. If a dude poked me in my eye, even as mild-mannered as I am, I'm not going for that bleep.
Well, the dude did poke him in the eye.
Right.
Right?
So I guess
it looked like a real poke, right?
Well, judging by Larry's reaction, he thought they were joking because he turned and just walked away. Yeah. He didn't get all upset. He's like, man, you poked me in my eye. Dude, what's going on with you? Now, I play with guys that friends on the field, and, you know, we might grab each other's face mask. We might bump in each other like we try to knock each other down. But he said, and I got to take him at his word because, I've known him for a while, and I know this was going to be off the record, so he could have told me, and I would have, he had a problem with it. But he said he didn't have a problem with it. He says he's his friend. I think the thing is because we look at Ndamukong Suh's history, Skip, because there were times that Larry says he was joking around, so I have no reason to believe that he wasn't. But there are times he was stomping on people's head. He wasn't joking around.
No.
He was times he was poking people in the eye in which he wasn't joking around.
That is correct.
Or he was doing things that were unwarranted on the football field in which he wasn't joking. Given by Larry's reaction to how he handled that situation, I tend to believe Larry that, hey, this was two friends having a good time. Now, that ain't how I react. That's not how I would have reacted with a good friend. And hopefully my friends know that, you know, we can't play around like that. But if Larry said they were joking around, Skip, I have no reason to believe that he's lying.
Okay, just to reiterate Sue's history here, he's been fined 8 times in his career and suspended twice for a grand total of 3 games. Mm-hmm. But remember the Thanksgiving Day stomp.
Evan Dietrich Smith.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Well, his history screams he's highly capable of poking you in the eye.
Correct.
What got me about this one was he's doing it right in front of the referee. So it was so blatant that it was almost comical, except the poke wasn't comical to me. It looked like, because Larry winces from it. He recoils from it because he's getting poked in the eye. Was that not a dangerous poke in the eye?
Looked
right?
Like it.
Didn't it look like it?
Yeah.
Was Larry ready for it?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't ready for it. So to me, Larry Fitzgerald, as you well know, is the ultimate good guy in the National Football League.
He is.
And I believe Larry wants no part of anything controversial, right? So he's going to defend his friend, even though maybe in his heart of hearts he's thinking, well, I don't know for a fact, but was he just clowning around? There are certain things you clown with, and there are certain things, like getting poked in the eye, you just don't clown with, right?
He sent me another text as we on there, so clearly he's watching.
Good.
I've known Suh since college, you know, his mother, his father, his sister. He isn't the guy that people think he is. We'll give you the shirt off his back. He and I come to my charity events every year and looked out for me.
Okay.
Again,
good.
Thanks,
I got it. But the video doesn't say that to me.
Well,
right?
Skip, but if you think about it, normally if somebody pokes you in the eye, you're not going to just turn and walk away like Fitz did. Fitz just turns and walks away.
That's just Suh, right? I guess so. But it's the equivalent of if one of your close friends walked up and punched you in the jaw and said, I'm just clowning around. You wouldn't think it was real funny, right?
No.
I mean, again.
I give you a prime example. Look at the reaction that Josh Norman had when Taylor Lewan, all he did was do Josh Norman's celebration in front of him.
He did.
And look how he reacted.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to believe that if Ndamukong Suh was serious and Larry and Fitz thought he was serious, he would have had a stronger or a more harsh reaction than what he displayed because he just turns and walks away.
Well, you got to really know somebody and really love somebody to accept that, right?
Yeah, but Skip, as friends, we know how we play. With each other. And like, look, when I was in the locker room, Skip, there are certain guys we had. I like our five guys. And so we go to training camp, Skip. You know what we do? We know where the guys sit. I go and screw all the salt, all the pepper shaker. Because I want them to shoot it, all the pepper and salt in their food.
That's
I would, you know, we would do things.
It's different then.
Eggs. Yeah, that's like poking in the eye.
I mean, Skip, look, it's hard for me to believe. I mean, you saw the reaction Fitz had.
I love you, Shannon. I'm going to poke you in the eye.
No. But that's the extent of their relationship, their friendship.
Okay.
You know, we used to steal cars, Skip. You know, I might steal my buddy's car, drive it up, leave the lights on, the car running for like 3 hours. So when he gets it, the battery dead.
Now, that to me is not funny.
That's cruel.
Oh,
yeah.
What about if I just take your jeans and put them in the cold tub
and then
put them in the freezer?
That's all right.
And then you have frozen jeans when you get out. You say you want to press jeans, starch.
Okay, that's funny.
That's funny.
Yeah. Every once in a while. I wouldn't want it every day, but.
No, we had to do something every day.
Okay.
Okay, what if I made you late for practice by nailing your locker shut and you couldn't get your shoulder pads out?
That's not funny.
What happened?
Don't do that.
I don't know what happens. Hey, Skip, he's late.
Yeah. Hey, well, all I know is Larry Fitz saved Sue from another suspension, because if the league office just saw that, they'd say, what?
I'm sure they reached out to Fitz.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
Or Fitz reached out to them. Because you know Fitz, you've been around him. He's class personified.
The all-timer.
He's as good as it gets. We got to believe.
Will you tell Larry thanks for watching?
Yep.
Yeah.
I like that. I like those texts. It's no mercy. Tom Brady's Patriots are 10-5 and still have a shot at home field throughout the playoffs, but there are questions about his future. Brady is 41 years old. He has a rumored knee injury, and his stats have been un-Brady-like this season. In addition to that, some NFL insiders predicted on ESPN.com that the Patriots will take a quarterback in the first two rounds of next year's draft. This week, Brady was asked if he'll definitely play next year, and this is what he had to say.
I absolutely believe I will. I know I've talked about it for a long time. You know, I have goals to play not only next year, but beyond that. And I'm going to try to do it as best I possibly can. I'm going to give it everything I have, like I always have. It'll certainly be a challenge. I don't take any of these things for granted, but I hope I can keep playing. I hope I can keep playing at a championship level. I'm feeling really good, Jim. It's been 15 weeks of football, and there's always bumps and bruises you deal with. But I'm feeling great for this time of year. I'll take it every year to be feeling as good as I am at this time in the season.
All right, we're joined by FS1 NFL analyst James Harrison. James, good to have you back. Mm-hmm. You have played with and against Brady. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, how much longer will he play?
I think he will play as long as he wants to, because Robert Kraft is going to let him play as long as he wants to. But in actuality, health-wise, I think he maybe has maybe 2 or 3 years left, a max.
Three's a lot now.
Three is a lot, true statement. Mm-hmm. But if you get some more help around him to where he's not having to worry about his footing and his safety in the pocket, get some more receivers. Gronk is not being Gronk this year. You know, I believe it has something to do with his back injuries. I had that same back surgery.
You did.
And a lot of the things that he's doing now, the movements, how he hits the ground, how slow he gets up, that's just pounding from like the wear and tear of that surgery and things, you know.
Doesn't he look
up.
Like he's near the end?
Oh, yeah, I would think so. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come back next year.
Yep.
So,
well, he's not coming back to New England. He might go somewhere else, but he ain't coming back to New England.
So, you know, the Brady thing, like I say, 2-3 years. But, you know, in actuality, I think, you know, they're not going to boot him out. If he wants to play, you know, Mr. Kraft is still going to give him that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I'm going to say one year, because he's not the same Tom Brady. And see, the reason why the Steelers diminish your role and let you go on, because you had a level of play that you had established. And when the Steelers felt James Harrison was not the defensive player of the caliber, it's like, okay, James, we're going to let you test the free agent market. Well, if you look,
also disrespectful the way they, you know, some days you'd show up and
No, I'm talking about before, because he had gone to Tennessee before.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati.
You went Cincinnati. Yeah. Cincinnati was first.
Right. Yeah, we went to Cincinnati, took the North with us. But go ahead.
That's a good point.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Is that Tom Brady has established this level. Look, he's not playing at that level. That's okay. As you get older, you can't maintain that level of play. LeBron doing what he's doing in year 6, that was an anomaly. And even Tom playing as well as he played at 39-40 is an anomaly. But it happens. We saw Peyton Manning win the MVP. He was, 38, 55-10. He comes back And he goes, you know, 39 and 15. You're like, but, you know, you kind of start seeing some things in there. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, off the cliff he went. Mm. That's what happens.
Okay.
If you're going to measure, if you just measure Tom Brady against average guys, you're like, oh, yeah, he's playing unbelievable. Mm. But that's not the standard. Mm. Tom Brady, the standard is Tom Brady's excellence. Mm. Do you believe he's still playing like that on a consistent basis? Mm. Now, if you want to make your argument for him, you can go back, look at game tape, pick out 150 plays, and say, look at Tom. Man, Tom looked as good as he did in year 10. And I can go get 50 plays, 150 plays, and say, look at Tom. He looked like he's 50 and not 41.
What does the record tell you?
Hold on. You see what you did there?
I didn't do anything there. James, I just asked you a question.
His record. So is that a Tom Brady or is that a team stat? Because James said they needed more players around him.
They do.
Oh, so why all of a sudden they need more players? You never said that before.
Despite the erosion of talent, they should be the one seed in the AFC. If not for the debacle that was the Miami Miracle, they would be the one seed right here, right now. And that indicates that the quarterback is still playing at a pretty high level, maybe a very high level. You can pick up out all the stats you want. You can say he's flinching and ducking and diving, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. All I know is without the Miami Miracle, we would be talking about number one seed New England in the AFC. You know, the one seed's pretty valuable,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very.
Two games at home to get to a Super Bowl. It should be that right here, right now, except for the last play at Miami.
So, hold right? on. But why do we get why do they get the benefit of the doubt? Kansas City can say the same thing. Without letting Phillip Rivers march 75 yards, getting a touchdown and a two-point
That's
conversion.
A march 75 yards, not a I just did a flip hit. all that. I got
that,
Gronk trying to tackle
that.
Somebody.
Yep.
But you could have won that game at Tennessee. You could have won that game against Detroit. You could have won that game in New England. And then what? We have a different argument, right? Or what about that sack that he took right before the half? That's 3 points. And that point, the last play of the game is moot.
Mm. Okay.
Did he not put them in position to win the football game?
Yeah, yes, he also put them in position to take points off the board.
How many yards did he throw for at Miami where he'd lost, what, 5 of the last 7 games? Is that what it was?
Okay.
He threw for 358. Is that washed up?
But you gloss.
Is that reason to kick him out the back?
No, but here's the thing. But you gloss over what he did against Buffalo when he threw for 161, one touchdown and 2 interceptions. Is that a reason to throw a parade for him?
Did he have a wide receiver against Buffalo? He did not. He has nobody who can separate. Nobody. He lost Josh Gordon. Gronkowski has become a liability. Not just he's down, he's not but quite Gronk, what he used to be.
But
you don't even want him on the field
but
anymore.
Was Gronk on the field in Miami?
Well,
what about Julian Edelman? Was he on the field?
Josh Gordon.
What about Cordell Patterson?
Josh Gordon was on the field in Miami.
The same.
He's a dangerous wide receiver. He can run past people.
But you know, but you said he had a piano on his back.
You said that he had a
piano. And you co-signed it, so you corroborated what I said.
Okay.
But this is what I don't understand. Is that when Tom Brady plays good, nobody mentions Cordell Patterson. Nobody mentions Edelman. Nobody mentions those no-name guys.
I do.
Edelman is not a no-name guy. I'm not going to let you say that.
But that's what I'm saying. But when he loses, he needs help. He's winning Super Bowls with those same guys that he needs help with now. Why?
How many Pro Bowlers were on offense for the New England Patriots? One, and you said that was a bogus one because Brady shouldn't have made it. So that's the only Pro Bowler on offense.
He shouldn't have.
How many Pro Bowlers on defense?
One.
Do they have a James Harrison in his prime? They do not.
No.
They have a corner who's really good, Stephon Gilmore, and that's it. Period. End of story.
But they really never, since they've gotten rid of, they've only had a one top flight in the last, say, decade since they got rid of, and that was Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones is the only legit pass rusher. Guy that says, you know what? Hey, Chandler, go make a play on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You don't have to call anything.
I thought Jamie Collins was that, too, and he just didn't like him and cut bait.
He could make plays all
over the field.
Right.
But he could rush, too.
The thing that they didn't like about Jamie Collins is that he freelanced.
Yeah.
And then Coach Belichick,
he wasn't in the system. I agree.
You can't freelance in the system.
And every once in a while, I look up right now for Cleveland, and he's making a play.
He'll make a play in the backfield, but he also let the tight end run unguarded up the seam.
I got it. He did not fit. But now all those cogs are eroded. Cogs, you know, the talent level has sunk.
Yeah.
This is the worst defense.
And so has the other talent level.
Okay, but I'm not saying it's a terrible defense, but it's the worst defense Belichick has put on the field in his 19 years in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Tom Brady has had to overcome that. Tom Brady has had to overcome what is now the worst receiving core in football.
When have we ever had to worry about Tom Brady having to overcome a defense or skilled players? We never said that because that's what made him great. Now, right. All of a sudden, he needs help. Thank you. You're making my argument for me. Mm-mm. Yeah, you are.
The question was, how much longer do you think he go play?
I give him one. He's going to play. He's going to play 1 year in New England. After that, one of them got to go. Either Coach Belichick's going or he's going. Because, see, he keep putting up that chum out there. Now, Coach Belichick says, look, I'm not worried about next year or the year after. I'm worried about the Jets.
Right.
Tom Brady the one to keep bringing it up.
He keeps bringing it up.
He got old Coach Belichick. You know Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick said, we're going to the Jets.
Right.
He said, I ain't worried about next year. Yeah. He said, I ain't promised next year. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady keep on trying to throw that at the coach. I'm going to play.
It's intended strictly for that coach.
Yeah.
And for Shannon Sharpe.
Yeah, why you worried about me? I've been retired almost 15 years, you know? Skip.
But he was just gushing about how much he loves football, how he still
Coach
jumps
Belichick
out of bed.
Coach Belichick loves football, too. Yep. Coach Belichick said he love it. Mm. Said he love coaching new players, getting them right. Mm. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so Tom Brady is saying that I'm having as much fun as I've ever had because, to me, after that case I just made to you about the defense and the lack of receivers, this is his greatest achievement. I think this is as rewarding a year as he's ever played.
Coach Belichick said, you know what I love? He said, I love getting new guys and putting them in there and showing I can do what I can do with them. Remember, that's what he did with Eric Rowe in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was going to show you. Remember, that's what you said. He was trying to show his genius. So what would he love more than
Eric
anything?
Eric Rowe's still on the team.
I'm talking about that. I don't know what team he's on right now. But what you think would give Coach Belichick the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate gratification, taking a guy not named Tom Brady and getting to that old bowl, James.
And how long is that going to take?
It'll take him no time. I give him 2 years with anybody, Coach Belichick, I have him there.
2 years?
Two years. Anyone. Not named Brian Hoyer.
So I believe they will draft a quarterback. He's going to draft a quarterback.
But
so
they don't take quarterbacks in the first round.
Okay, so I looked it up. So he's drafted 9 quarterbacks other than Tom Brady, and the highest was Jimmy G in round 2. And there were 3 third-rounders, including Jacoby Brissett.
Ryan Mallett, what did he take?
He didn't have Ryan Mallett.
Who did he take? He took some guy from he took Rohan Davies.
He did in the 4th round. Cliff Kingsbury, who's now at USC. 6th round. Who else would you? Oh, Ryan Mallett. He's
Ryan
on here.
Mallett,
right. He's a third rounder. Yeah. I'm sorry. I skipped right over him. And then I don't know why he took Danny Etling in the 7th round last year. So Danny Etling is there, and I never liked Danny Etling at LSU. I never could understand.
Of course not. You don't like anybody that played the SEC if they got to deal with Alabama. Oh, I know how we go on. Can we talk about Alabama tomorrow? Yeah. You don't mind?
No, maybe tomorrow.
Can we talk about Alabama tomorrow?
You mean 60-35?
That's
going to be the final score. Well, that's going to be the final
score. I know what you try to do, Skip Bayless. You try to spring a surprise, and that way if Oklahoma wins, you think you're going to talk about it. I ain't coming. If Oklahoma wins this game, I'm not coming to work.
I'm giving Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's going to put up 35 points. That's a lot on Coach Saban, right?
I'm not coming
Saint
to
Nick?
Work. If Oklahoma wins on Saturday.
With the worst defense in the history of college.
I'm not coming. I'll be watching you from home, Skip.
Okay.
Good to know.
Is that like a vow? Is that like
vow. A 100. I'm going to call in. I'm going to do my show from home. I'm going to do my part from home.
What
can I call in?
Jenny, can they pull this off?
I'll just take your seat. I'll talk about Oklahoma plenty.
Tua's not right yet.
Tua's fine. I want to know why they made Tua show up for media day and not Kyler.
Kyler was sick.
He ain't sick yet, but he about to be.
Yeah, Baker was sick last year and missed media day.
Oh, yeah. You know them dogs were going to put that thing on him. Them Georgia dogs put that thing on him.
They
we'll
did.
Talk plenty of college, I'm sure, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And let's make sure you do come on Monday. We'll see if we've got a game.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.